The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Thank you indeed for joining us here on the Frank Sontag Show. We are here every weekday afternoon, and if you're a new listener, welcome to the broadcast. All we ask is for you to consider listening for a little while before you draw any conclusions or judgments. I know many of you in radio, especially the kind of the tempo of our culture, We figure things out instantaneously. We're so sure somebody says something, and we're often running with our observations and our overview of who that person is and what they stand for. And my goodness, if we don't like it, if we don't agree, well, ever more so in this day and age of a society and a country that's changing, that type of behavior is validated. Everybody's against wrong, right? But what is wrong? What is hate or hate speech? Do we not have a right to share what is on our hearts and in our minds in terms of freedom of speech? I want to talk a little bit about dissension. I want to share a little bit about the idea of a differing viewpoint, or even questioning something. And our examples will take the form in a few ways, and I'd love to hear from you as well. Phone lines are always available to you. 888-528-2557. I'll start with a very short story of when I was in elementary school, of all times. We had moved out from Cleveland, Ohio. I was in the sixth grade at a brand new school. And I remember, for whatever reasons, math came pretty easy to me early on, just basic math. I'm not talking about advanced algebra or trigonometry or even geometry. I just basic mathematics just came easy for me. So I remember one day vividly in class, I had been here for maybe a week and been in this class for maybe 3 days, and the teacher wrote a math problem on the board in chalk in the old days, right, where I come from. We had a candle because we had no electricity, and, you know, the floors were dirt, and I digress, way back when. But I remember the teacher wrote out a math problem, and the answer that she had on the board was not the answer that I had on my paper. And I even double and triple checked it, and I'm like, okay, I think that's wrong on the board. So I raised my hand. She didn't even know my name. She had to look, you know, the new kid. And so I said very nicely, with respect, I think your answer is wrong. And the whole class just kind of chuckled. And the teacher instantly reacted to that, didn't like that the classroom kind of had a guffaw for a moment, right? And she responded by saying, oh no, that's the correct answer. So literally as a young 11-year-old, I had a decision to make. Okay, am I going to push the issue, or am I just going to back off and go the way of non-confrontation and, in my mind, let something go that I know is wrong? So what did I do? I pushed the issue. I said, with respect, I'll leave her name out of it. I said, I really honestly think you're wrong. And she says, that's enough out of you. If you say another word, you'll serve detention after school. So I right there, I wasn't Christian. My goodness, my early days, no idea who the Lord was, but I think I kind of did a Romans 13. And okay, she's the teacher, I'll be quiet. So I literally sat there during class. I didn't listened to another word. There was about 15 more minutes left in class. And I checked my math probably about 20 times. And I'm not overstating that. And I came to the same answer every time, every time. She was wrong. So after class, I walked up to her. I waited till everybody left. And I addressed her kindly. And I said, I really have to share with you, I think your answer is wrong. And then she started to, well, get that stern look on her face and started to give me the old, hey, I'm the adult here. You're the subordinate. You do what I say. And she just kind of gave me this little mini speech. So I said, I'll tell you what, if I'm wrong, I will clean this classroom every day for the next month after school. And she said, well, you're wrong. And I challenged her. So I remember to this day, she got the eraser, went on the board, started walking through. You know, you hear the sound of the chalk. And she gets near the end and she pauses and she says, well, goodness, you're right. I made a mistake. And I said, okay, thank you. I didn't want anything. I walked away. And then she said, don't ever challenge me in front of your classmates again. Now, why do I share that story? I think that manifests in a lot of different ways. There's a way to respectfully challenge the authority figure. There's a way to be quite the opposite. There's a way to really go off the wrong end, by which you even may violently respond, where you break laws. And we are a country of laws. You should be held to the highest possible standard, be prosecuted to the full extent of the law. So this guy a few weeks ago, all of a sudden, no one knew who he was. He has a national spotlight for a short time. And all of a sudden, he's disappeared again. His name is Brandon Michon. You may have remembered this video. It went viral everywhere. He ended up on Tucker Carlson. He appeared in front of a board meeting, and he had it with his two children, we found out later, 5 and 8 years old, who spoke beforehand, but he had it with the denials and the avoidance, and he really believed his children were suffering not being in school.
You should all be fired from your day jobs, because if your employers knew that you were more inefficient than the DMV, you would be replaced in a heartbeat. I literally just finished a conference call because I'm having to multitask to be here to address you guys. You're a bunch of cowards hiding behind our children as an excuse for keeping schools closed. You think you're some sort of martyrs because of the decisions you're making when the statistics do not lie that the vast majority of the population is not at risk from this virus. The garbage workers who pick up my freaking trash risk their lives every day more than anyone in this school system. Figure it out or get off the podium. Because you know what? There are people like me and a line of other people out there who will gladly take your seat and figure it out. It's not a high bar. Raise the freaking bar.
Now, was he out of line? He had something to share. Many people say, well, he could have been more respectful, or he didn't have to yell and scream. And so much by which, again, I think our society, when it comes to challenging authority, some of us are so used to just kowtowing to whatever we are told to do. And one of my latest, obviously, my questioning certain things that are told with COVID and the masks has gotten me into a little hot water with a website I don't care to get in particular. People that just love to cause trouble. But here's the point. What do we do when we absolutely believe in many ways we're right, we're being ignored, we're being placated, those in positions of authority that even don't practice what they preach? And you know a bit what I'm talking about here. How do we address that? Do we just go about our way and just be quiet? We don't say anything, and we mind our P's and Q's. You may remember the veteran that spoke in Shasta County not that long ago. His name was Carlos Zapata. He shared this about the same issue with mask wearing.
I wasn't going to speak. I was asked to speak here. You know, Sheriff, good to see you. I'm telling you guys, you know, I'm pretty appalled at what's going on. You know, at first we sat as concerned citizens and we all wanted to figure out how to best navigate our way through this whole COVID thing, you know. And as we realized that it's not quite as dangerous as we thought it'd be, you know, I was absolutely appalled at the cowardice, you know. And as you're sitting there with your masks on, I don't blame you for wearing masks, because I'd be hiding my face too if I was you for what you're doing. This is absolutely horrendous what you're doing to these people. I'm a business owner, and I'm telling you, our families are starving. You know, you guys can sit here with your jobs. You can sit here and you're going to get paid. You can fall asleep in your chair like that gentleman's doing behind his mask right there. Okay? And I'm telling you right now that right now we're being peaceful. And you better be happy that we're good citizens, that we're peaceful citizens. But it's not going to be peaceful much longer. Okay? And this isn't a threat. I'm not a criminal. I've never been a criminal. But I'm telling you, good citizens are going to turn into real concerned and revolutionary citizens real soon. And nobody else is going to say that. I'm probably the only person that has a say what I'm saying right now. That we're building, we're organizing, and we'll work with law enforcement or without law enforcement. But you won't stop us when time comes, because our families are starving. And if you don't hear the seriousness of my voice, I hope you open your ears and you absolutely listen to what I'm saying. Because this is a warning for what's coming. It's not going to be peaceful much longer. It's not going to be rah-rah. It's not going to be speeches. It's not going to be gathered outside saying a Pledge of Allegiance. It's not going to be waving flags. It's going to be real. When you've seen the things that I've seen, I went to war for this country. I've seen the ugliest, dirtiest part of humanity. I've been in combat, and I never want to go back again. But I'm telling you what, I will to save this country. If it has to be against our own citizens, it will happen. And there's a million people like me, and you won't stop us. Open the county. Let our citizens do what they need to do. Let owners of businesses do what they need to do to feed their families. Take the masks off. Quit masking and muzzling your children. The psychological damage that you're doing to them is horrible. I've had 6 friends kill themselves since it's happened. Veterans who lost their jobs. How do you feel about being complicit in perpetuating that? The greatest hoax ever perpetuated on the American people. And you're a part of it by wearing your masks. In Shasta County, we're supposed to be red country up here. Not blue country, we're red country up here. You guys know that. I mean, you claim to be conservatives, maybe you're not. Maybe you're liberals, I don't know. But by God, we're Americans. And remember that. Take your masks off. Quit muzzling yourselves. Join us. Fight with us against what's going on in Sacramento. It's a travesty. Thanks.
His name is Carlos Zapata. That was a number of months ago. There's a little bit of an interwoven theme. At least I'm attempting to present it for you to just consider on your own whether you want to comment on it or not. But what about freedom of speech? Should he have a right to share what he shared in the tone that he shared? Brandon Michon, should he have been able to share what he shared in the tone that he shared? What about all the double standards we're seeing right now in the larger play of the country and legislation and this idea that somehow if you disagree, you will be silenced? I have one more point that I'm going to read something to you and then we'll move on. Your calls are welcome. 888-528-2557. Now, next week, we're going to have impeachment hearings in the Senate, of which I just shake my head. I've got my own mind made up about motivations and the outcome, but who knows what will happen. It will be interesting. But this whole idea about inciting an insurrection on January 6th, and you've heard all the rhetoric. We don't care to even look for at least contradictions of other things that have occurred, or do we even care about what the truth is? Now, specifically on January 6th, the mainstream media has not played any footage of what Donald Trump said on that day to, I guess, his cult followers of 350,000 people, or the 70-some-odd million of people in the country. You can find the transcript of what he shared that ended at 1:11 p.m. Eastern, when the Capitol had already been stormed almost 45 minutes earlier. But one of the last things he said, quote, "We're going to walk down to the Capitol. We're going to cheer on our brave senators and congressmen and women, and we're probably not going to be cheering so much for some of them." But what you hear in the media, it's all about him saying, you'll never take back our country with weakness. You'll have to show strength, have to be strong. And they said that was insightful. They leave out what he said before that. He was talking about the senators and the congressmen and those that were at least questioning what happened. Here's another level of hypocrisy. And let me be clear, anybody that broke the law that day, violently hurt somebody, prosecuted to the full extent of the law. I think to be one that follows biblical truths, I think we need to stand on the side of law and justice, law and order. So for those that have been arrested, they're facing $100,000 fines, even $750,000 in bail. Some of the prosecutors have demanded that their bail be revoked entirely. Do you know 4 years ago, during President Trump's own inauguration, 200 people committed violent crimes, assaulted police officers, destroyed police cars, private property. You know, every single one of them had their charges dropped. No mention of any of that. Or the following year, at the Brett Kavanaugh hearing, that was quite a display, wasn't it? Protesters storming the Senate office buildings, intimidating senators. You saw some of the videos in the mainstream. Some of them were arrested, ended up with fines between $35 and $50. No prosecution at all. That wasn't intimidating at all, right? These double standards. So let me leave you with this commentary. And again, if you want to respond, we have open lines, 888-528-2557. And if you have nothing that you want to share, we'll move on in the latter part of this hour and talk a bit about Chuck Norris, of all people. He's in the news. He has an op-ed piece as well. But I want to read this to you. This is from the Wall Street Journal. It's a commentary called America, It's Time for Unity or Else. Gerard Baker writes this. Can you feel the unity? Have you come together to bind the nation's wounds? Have you renounced your white privilege? Your unconscious bias probably hasn't been eradicated in the last week, so it will need attention. But don't worry. If you work in the federal government, you'll soon have the opportunity, sorry, obligation, to get that fixed with a series of bias elimination sessions. If you work for a large company, you've probably already watched the video, so you've no excuses for continuing not to recognize that America's foundational malignity is all your fault. If you're a woman, have you shared a restroom with some strapping-looking figure you're sure used to be a man but now says she's all female? I hope your high school daughters are doing their part to unify the country by ceding whatever hope of athletic success they had to a new class of 6-foot-tall girls with bulbous triceps. In the service of national unity, you should by now have agreed to welcome a new influx of illegal aliens into your community. Better yet, perhaps you're an immigrant who's been through the costly, protracted process to become an American citizen and are looking forward to welcoming those who opted to take the less documented route. If you work in fossil fuels, maybe you're employed on the Keystone XL pipeline. Aren't you grateful that your imminent joblessness is bringing the country together? If you were an enthusiastic Donald Trump supporter, are you ready to enter a re-education program? You may not realize that your reprogramming is essential to the preservation of democracy, but after attendance at a series of camps led by Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez and a team of journalists from the Washington Post, you'll once again be able to contribute civilly to political discourse. If you express doubt online about the reliability of the presidential election result, your contribution to bringing the nation together might be an interview with a pair of nice federal agents. Gerard Baker writes, as a commentator on a conservative platform, I'm ready to do my part for national harmony by being deplatformed by technology companies the next time I step out of line. But if you're that rare thing, a conservative in academia, you might want to make sure your barista skills are up to snuff, though you probably won't be welcome in any of the Starbucks anywhere in the country. After 4 years of hateful, divisive leadership that stoked raging enmities and fueled murderous bigotries, I hope you're feeling the soothing balm of comedy as it pours forth from executive orders, presidential declarations, and the various ministries of truth that used to be news organizations. In President Biden's inaugural address, which in its composition and significance was reminiscent of Lincoln's second inaugural, Pericles' funeral oration, and the Sermon on the Mount, he emphasized that the path to national unity lies not only through our acquiescence to the Democrats' agenda, but in a renewed communal asseveration of the truth. President Biden said, quote, "There is truth and there are lies. Lies told for profit and for power. And each of us has a duty and responsibility to defend the truth and defeat the lies," end quote. Baker writes, "It must have been in that spirit that on day one, some administration official told CNN that the Biden team had discovered that their predecessors had left them a non-existent coronavirus vaccine distribution plan. It was presumably heeding the president's call to defeat lies that the CNN reporter decided not to challenge the official. Given that, with almost 40 million vaccines already distributed, there might have been a plan in place after all. Then there was defending the larger truth about Mr. Biden's plan to get 100 million doses into Americans' arms in 100 days, which would be a million a day. An ambitious goal. His team called it an ambitious goal. The press repeated, helping to lower the expectations bar for the new president. But only in the very small print did we learn that in the final week of the Trump administration, doses administered were already up to well over 900,000 a day on a rapidly rising trajectory. Ambitious indeed. Truth is attested to by actions as well as words. Wearing a mask, Mr. Biden has told us, is essential to saving lives. But on inauguration night, there he was, celebrating, maskless. His press secretary, in a searing moment of truthfulness, told us it was fine because he had, quote, bigger issues to worry about, end quote. That admission, in its own way, Baker writes, was a clarifying one, capturing as it did the real meaning of our new era of truth and unity. The truth is that our unity will be achieved by your doing what we tell you to do. You can find the entire commentary on the Wall Street Journal website. Any thoughts? Unity. Challenging the powers that be. What is the walk of a Christian? Are we to be submissive and respectful and nice? Are we never to be upset or become angry? Is that the example that we learn about Jesus? Save, you know, we hear about the money changers. Oh, he got angry that one time. Yeah, I don't think that's completely accurate. You may want to read the Gospel of Matthew. Call the religious elites a lot of names. It's safe to say they didn't execute him because he just said to love everybody. So what do you think? Do you have any thoughts? 888-528-2557. This is just a call to step out and get involved and share your truth. What do you make about all this? Is it just too overwhelming, or is it just easier to paint people in broad strokes like identity politics, cancel culture? Because it's here. I've said many times on this program over the last number of months that I believe as Christians we are to prepare for what is manifested fully as a spiritual war and a spiritual battle. Well, for me, preparation time is over. The battle is here. What do we do about it? What do you do about it? 888-528-2557. We have a couple of open lines, and we will continue with more of the Frank Sontag Show next. Welcome back to the Frank Sontag Show. Thank you for joining us. We're going to jump right on the phones. And as a prerequisite, you are only allowed to call in if you're calling from a city that in its name has the word city. We've got Michael in Panorama City, Richard in Culver City, Glenn in Harbor City. So don't call if you're not in a place that isn't named with a city. I'm just trying to break it up a little bit here. Have a chuckle or two. We have a line open, 888-528-2557. Michael in Panorama City. Michael, you're on the Frank Sontag Show.
Yeah, hello, Frank. I love your show. I love the topic here. And before I give my comment, a quick question. I was wondering if the teacher that you corrected, did she ever tell the class that she had made a mistake, or did she just left it at that?
Oh, she left it and told me never to open my mouth again and disagree in front of everybody else and embarrass her. That's what she said.
Oh, wow, that's kind of sad. Okay. Well, my comment is that I think both the Bible and the Constitution give us the right and the authority to speak up. And we see it all throughout the Old Testament. You know, the prophet, they got himself in trouble. Some even got themselves killed. And we have Nathan confronting David with a story. And then we have Jesus himself calling, I think, Herod the fox and confronting all the time the authorities. We have John the Baptist, Herod. We have Paul in several occasions. He stood up for his rights, say, hey, I'm a Roman citizen. I need to be treated proper with all the proper respect and everything. So I think the Bible very clearly said that we need to speak the truth. It said speak the truth in love. So, you know, we try to control ourselves and everything, but I know sometimes with passion, you know, you get heated, but at the same time, the Bible, I think, clearly give us the right, the authority to speak up, and also the U.S. Constitution.
Michael, share the dangers of those that don't understand that to fight for freedom of speech is something that if we don't do and we lose that, there are dire consequences from losing the right to have freedom of speech.
Yes, I believe definitely that there's a danger when we can't speak up, when we can't, because for instance, the Bible clearly tells us that we should speak out in the truth. The truth is there, and it we must share it all the time. God gave us the mandate to go into all the world to preach the good news and the gospel. So imagine if we live in a country that says, sorry, you can, if you have things to say that we don't like, you can't say it, then we won't be able to share the good news of the gospel that God sent us to preach. So there's a grave danger. So we need to speak up all the time and and do what we can for the right. I encourage people to do the right thing, to speak up openly. And I try to speak up openly. I try to be respectful, but I also try to speak up whether on the internet or something like that. And quickly, I was going to say one way that I deal with the internet is that I would make a comment, send it out there. I don't worry about if anybody likes it or whatever. So that's one way that I deal with it. And I throw out scripture and said, hey, God want us to say the right thing, to do the right thing, but he also want us to be brave and bold.
Well, and you exemplify that in your obviously referencing many of the biblical characters, as well as talking about the dangers of losing freedom of speech. Michael, thank you. You know, I think part of it is, and maybe we can pursue this on this program or another one, I think part of it is many of us understand that, but what are we willing to give up to fight for it? Are we willing to bring on suffering in our lives to fight for certain things that are right? I don't know if, at least in recent times, if I see much of that stance in our culture. I see a lot of the other stuff, self-entitlement and how special we are and weakness in a lot of ways, especially with manhood. Maybe we'll talk about that a little later in the program. Richard in Culver City. Richard, you're on the Frank Sontag Show. Richard, are you there?
Yes. Yeah, I'm here. Hello, Frank. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure thing.
Thanks for doing what you do. I don't always agree with what you say, but sometimes I'll pray on it, and God says, he was right. So I'll put that out there. Thank you. I do want to say that, you know, I just want to say that the government is not life, man. Jesus is life. We definitely do have to come together. We got to make sure we do it with a soft heart. We got great laws, but we got to make sure that we speak up for those laws, especially the laws of the Bible. You know, the word itself is freedom. But if we get quiet, which, you know, I hate to say it, it's gotten quiet. It's time for us to wake up. If we all followed that Bible, we would know what love is. You can't replicate Jesus' love. You can't.
Well,
and there wouldn't be people on the streets. You know, he gives me money every day. I don't have money to give to anybody. But he gives me money as I work. And I give it out because to see what's going on, he's got to increase. And we got to decrease.
Yeah, I think that's so very well said. Thank you for sharing, Richard. I will say there is a little bit of maybe a contention that I have. You said when you look to the Bible, you definitely will understand the love of Christ. I think that's true with a bit of a caveat. I think there are some people that have been taught, let's just say, not the complete Jesus, just kind of the one that is loving and compassionate and forgiving and all of the attributes, the fruits of the Spirit, all true. But as I said in my monologue, I just think about the Jesus that challenged the political elites or even the money changer story. Oftentimes I hear when I say, was Jesus dangerous? Was Jesus a warrior? And they're like, oh, wait, time out. We don't need to be calling Jesus dangerous. He loved everybody. Now, do you know, if I understand it and I've cross-referenced it and read a lot of different stories about that fateful day where Jesus walked up with a whip in his hand and drove everybody out? My understanding is he was there the day before and saw what was going on, wasn't too thrilled about it, took a time out, if you will, went out and formed a whip and came back the next day. I just don't think if you just walk through it logically, when you know he drove out everybody in the temple, animals, humans, everything, he probably wasn't just speaking a message of kumbaya. And yet, I understand some of us that are fleshly, sinful, Jesus was free from sin. Right? The Bible says, be angry and don't sin. Some of us say, well, I'm angry and I'm not sinning. Well, good luck on that one. But sometimes, rhetorically asked, is it not okay to share along those lines or to respond in an angry fashion? I just, sometimes isn't anger, righteous indignation, strength, not weakness. 888-528-2557. Also, when we return, Chuck Norris is in the news. You talk about not making brownie points with people. Chuck is doing his own way of calling some folks out. We'll talk about that next here on the Frank Sontag Show. Welcome back to the Frank Sontag Show. I'm going to play victim for a moment and blame somebody. So this is Kansas. And because Wilbert played this song, I don't know, he's played some Kansas recently, one of my favorite bands growing up. the last two nights on my run, I've listened to Left Overture and Point of No Return, the entire albums. 3 o'clock, I wake up in the morning with that song running through my head. I wanted to text Wilbert in the middle of the night and said, Carry On My Wayward Son's going through my head right now, and it's 3:12 in the morning. Thank you so much. But I guess in another way, that's a roundabout sort of way of saying thank you. Wilbert always plays some wonderful bumper music. We hope and pray that you enjoy them as well. And welcome back to the program. Years ago, it sounds like a testimony. Years ago, I hung out with Chuck Norris's brother. And Aaron, great guy, Christian. He and Chuck did a lot of martial arts together. And this was the time when he was doing his TV series, Chuck That Be. And before everything kind of blew up and we're doing memes and, you know, Chuck Norris does this and that. And it's kind of interesting to watch how popular he's gotten. Well, he decided to kind of call some people out in a little bit of an op-ed piece. Now, Christian Headlines report the story. And the headline says, Do you value bamboo straws more than human life? Chuck Norris questions following results of morality survey. Here's a little of what Amanda Casanova writes. Chuck Norris says he wonders if people value bamboo straws over human life after hearing of a new survey that showed only 26% of people view abortion as always or usually morally wrong. Norris wrote a column for WND.com in response to the survey from the Angus Reid Institute. The Canadian firm found that half of Canadian respondents believe moral values are getting weaker in society. At a conversation yesterday with a young man about morality and God, and if you don't follow God and his truth, how do you define what is morally right and wrong? I read a study yesterday that a large percentage of, I believe it's millennials or Gen Zers, I get them mixed up, believe moral relativism is alive and well, which is about as anti-Bible as can be. So this study in particular showed that more respondents, 46%, said sharing a streaming account without paying is morally wrong than said of like assistant dying, 20%, or abortion, 26%. So in comparison, Chuck Norris pointed to the highlights of the study saying, quote, 51% thought that using plastic straws is always or usually morally wrong. He went on to say, so someone might have had their elderly mother euthanized or had their unborn baby aborted, but they feel like a good person since they used a bamboo, not plastic straw. Norris wrote, am I missing something? Do you truly value bamboo straws more than human life in the womb? End quote. Later in the piece, Norris wrote this, quote, the enduring value of humans is echoed in the Bible in Psalm 139. For you, God, created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. It's interesting the way society places values on things and not so much life. And here's one man, even though it is Chuck Norris, I mean, we put him in that echelon, that category of superhuman in a playful way. But here's one man calling out society saying, what's wrong with you people? You think it's morally more important to use a bamboo straw and not plastics versus take the life of an unborn child? But that's where we are. And there are courageous people that are saying enough. Starting tomorrow, the nation's largest abortion chain, Planned Parenthood, will not be taking tax dollars from the state of Texas anymore. Texas leaders have been trying to defund Planned Parenthood from the state Medicaid program for many years, and in November, they won a victory in court. By the way, if you don't know, Medicaid is the largest stream of taxpayer funding to Planned Parenthood, and in Texas, that funding will be cut off shortly. Jennifer Allman, executive director of the Texas Catholic Conference of Bishops, said this is great news. She said Texans have much better options for health care than abortion groups. Before I read the quote, you know, one of the lies in our country from certain individuals, notice how I don't broad stroke all groups as being the same, from certain individuals that are in the camp of this pro-choice, women's health care, and they say that where would they go somehow if, in the case of Planned Parenthood, if we stop federal taxpayer dollars, oh, it's going to endanger women's lives and health. Here's the truth, at least in the state of Texas, and this is true all across the country. Allman says, quote, there are hundreds of providers throughout the state of Texas willing to serve poor women with authentic health care services that are not also peddling abortion. The Texas Pregnancy Care Network has a list of such providers throughout the state, and if these providers do not accept Medicaid, they can make referrals to life-affirming Medicaid providers who can offer genuine health care to women in need, end quote. Planned Parenthood facilities in Texas receive $3.1 million taxpayer-funded dollars in Medicaid annually. The abortion chain estimates that it sees about 8,000 Texans every year through the program. According to the Texas Right to Life, quote, medical providers in Texas are required to follow Texas Medicaid policies and federal and state law. Texas Office of the Inspector General found Planned Parenthood violated federal regulations by altering abortion procedures to harvest baby body parts. Thus, OIG terminated Planned Parenthood's provider contract, end quote. Just a few weeks ago, the Texas Health and Human Services Commission informed the abortion chain of the cutoff date. No more tax dollars from the state of Texas. Here's an interesting side note, and one you won't hear often. Planned Parenthood leaders argue that the change will hurt Texans' access to health care. But Planned Parenthood does not provide much basic health care. Its core mission is literally aborting unborn babies. And its own annual report shows that the few actual health services that it does provide, such as birth control, cancer screenings, and sterilizations, have been dropping steadily in recent years. And here's the statistic of them all. Again, the lie being perpetuated out there that, oh my gosh, if somehow Planned Parenthood is undermined and federal tax dollars are taken away, what are women going to do? Community health centers outnumber Planned Parenthood facilities across the country by a 20-to-1 margin, including dozens of vital services that Planned Parenthood does not offer. Across the country, health centers for women outnumber Planned Parenthood facilities by 20-to-1. And yet somehow, nationally, we give them hundreds of millions of federal dollars. Previous administrations said no, but here we are, back to business as usual. The man that professes to go to church and says he's leaning on prayer to lead, he said it gives him hope and centers him. He and his new administration are falling all over themselves to cancel out so much legislation that exemplified a pro-life position. Now, it's all about more abortions. And he plans to be a Catholic. Many in the Catholic Church aren't too fond of that. 888-528-2557. This is the Frank Sontag Show.